fire came up and something happened. It was like, I don't know, a wind or something. But the fire went right up around him. And he just had kind of a glowing suntan from it. It didn't burn him at all. It just went up around him. And so, you know, that guy was so, you know, saying, they called Christians atheists because they didn't believe in gods, plural, you know, which behind those gods are, we know, devils. They didn't believe in the devils, you know, so they were atheists. And he would say, Caesar is the God that you could see. He has the power, you know. And so you need to give honor to him. And so when the fire was going up around him, he had said, I'm going to give you to the flames. But he never did. He wasn't killed by those flames.
Nope.
And in fact, they said, you know, Smyrna, which we studied Smyrna here. Smyrna is right here, and it means perfume or fragrance. They said there was a sweet perfume that came out of Polycarp. I mean, this is just accounts of it that I read. You know, I was reading on it, that there was like a perfume that came out. And this is not well journaled, but this is one of the reports that they couldn't burn him, so they decided to throw a spear and end it quickly with a spear. And they hit him with a spear, and his blood gushed out and put out the fire. So it's just amazing. And he's a good reminder to us, as we said, of a witness that is a martyr. Martos means witness. So praise the Lord for that. And we just thank God.
Yes. The little trials and tribulations.
Yes.
If we cannot handle that now.
That's right.
We will not be able to handle what comes.
That's right. And that's actually what I'm preaching on this morning. Maribeth? Say that again. No, it's all right. You have a very soft, sweet voice. Go ahead. Yes. Yes.
When they was a little kid.
Yes.
I lived behind my mother-in-law.
Is this in Puerto Rico?
In Puerto Rico. Oh. She lives now here.
Yeah, but this is, you're going back then. Yeah.
Yeah, when that happened, I lived behind the house of my mother-in-law.
Yes.
In a little house. So when I sleep in the night, my bed, my room.
Yes.
Fire.
Yes, you had fire? Yes.
So my son sleeping in the creek.
Yes.
From here, so the fire start in this corner.
Wow.
Around my bed.
Wow.
So all the bed around, they get the fire and down the bed too.
Wow.
I'm sleeping here, and the fire is too high.
Wow.
Around the bed.
Never touched you or.
No.
There you go.
Me.
Praise
I
the Lord. Yes.
And the super protection my kids.
Wow.
So when I see the child.
Which son was this? What was his name, the son?
My son?
Yeah.
Anthony,
which one?
Jessica.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Jose's told me about him.
No, Jose. I don't have Jose. Jose from here.
No, but I think he told me about him.
Mm-hmm. Did he tell you about the
brother? Not that, no.
Oh.
Just the brother.
Oh, my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. See the fire
here. Wow.
Down around. So I stay up in the bed. I try screaming, but I can't because my voice came down. So I jump in the fire.
Wow.
So in the floor, I have too much.
What's that? Oh, okay.
Around the floor.
Yeah. That what?
Wow. I start screaming.
Stuck in your feet. Yeah.
What?
Stuck in her feet.
Stuck in the feet.
Stuck in the feet. Yeah. clothes.
Yeah, yeah, I got it. Yeah.
So I tried screaming for my boss to go out.
Yeah.
I lost my boss, my voice.
Wow.
In a second.
Wow.
So when my mother-in-law, she looked in the window and called her name. When she looked in the window, she see around the door, my is open.
Yeah. Wow, that is amazing. Wow. God's preservation. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And we have a new lady that came to visit us. You want to give them your name?
Christine.
Where do you live, Christine?
At the moment in Pittston.
All right, Pittston. Amen. And Bob Bajeski and Angela visited with you, right? Talked to you. And so glad... Asking about the Bible. And did they tell you about Jesus and how to be saved?
Yes, and I actually did that with Bob and Angela the other night.
You did. Praise the Lord. Well, there's a good praise. We like to hear that. Well, listen, at the end of the service upstairs, we have water. And we have a beautiful place for you. So you could get baptized. That'd be great. All right. Cynthia. Yeah.
Well, Joe's cousin, Joe Slobodnik.
I know Joe Slobodnik.
He has cancer, and Joe, he found out about it, and Joe called him and gave him the gospel. He did not pray.
Wow. And where does he live now? Yeah, I gotcha. So he's local. Yeah.
But the other thing is, Joe's having his the mole, melanoma.
Yeah. When is that going to be?
Whatever it is called, on Tuesday.
All right. He had biopsy on his pancreas because they had some kind of a lesion on the pancreas, and that came up negative. Answered prayer. He does have melanoma and a mole on his back. Which they took out the mole, right? But now they're going to cut around that. And so pray for that. My wife, being in Florida, she had melanoma on her back about 35 years ago. And they did the same thing. They took the mole out, then cut around it. So thank God it hasn't come back and answered a prayer. And her brother, who's down in Carolina, Asheville area, he has had real bad Agent Orange and all that. He was in Vietnam, this guy. He is a deacon down there in a Baptist church, and it's great to see what God's done in his life. And he was getting this cancer. He had melanoma all over his body, and it went into his, you know, lymph nodes and everywhere. And he's like a year older than my wife. And he built a beautiful house down there. It's just amazing, a builder and stuff like that. He can do so much. But he's getting treatment with immunotherapy, and it's rebuking the cancer. It's turning the cancer back. So that's an answer to prayer. There's been a lot of prayer for him. All right, one more, and then we'll have prayer in our offering. Matthew.
I just wanted to give God the glory for my trip because I got an opportunity to witness and share testimony about how God's passed down my grandpa's legacy.
Amen. Wow.
Served in the military. He had a military funeral at the grave site.
I love those, yeah.
It was just so humbling. So such a blessing to see how a life served, Polycarp served, but
amen.
Grandpa served the Lord all his life, and he's at peace with God in heaven. It's hard for my grandma, hard for our family.
Yes.
Hard because we miss him. He's a great man, but he's not suffering anymore.
Praise God. Amen. All right. We're praying for Matt. Good to hear that report. And we'll pray for them right now as we pray for the family. All right. Let's just pray. And then we'll... Matt, can you lead us in prayer? And Pass out the offering. This is just for Sunday school. You know, like we had that movie, it was free with everything. That's what we use this for, any Sunday school stuff we do. So it's just a little help for that. Yeah.
Father, we come before you now in Jesus' name, and we just want to thank you for gathering us together this morning, this Sunday morning, this first day of the week, to worship and serve and honor you, Father. God, you know all of our needs in this room. You know all of our pain, all of our suffering, all of our loss, all of our gains. God, but we look to you, Father.
Yeah. Amen.
Look to you.
Yep.
All the way to the end.
Amen.
All the way to the end.
That's right.
The men and women in this room who have family members and loved ones who have gone through fires and who have gone through trials and who have gone through sufferings, Lord. We look to you for our help. We look to you for our hope. We look to you to overcome today, Lord, by your grace. So
yes, that's right.
The good news with Mr. Sabatnik, just his His operation on Tuesday, Lord, be with that.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for Brother Andy bringing his grandchildren.
Amen.
Grandchild and...
Yes. Husband.
Yes. Husband.
Joey. Bless him.
Thank you, Lord, for grace.
Amen.
Mercy. Thank you for bringing a new lady out this morning.
Yes,
bless
amen.
Father.
Amen.
And, thank you that she's here. And Lord, we'll just trust you with this offering that we lift up to you and seek to honor and serve you this day. Bless Pastor as he teaches us, Lord.
Yep.
Lord. Fill him with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord. Need it. Oh, God.
Receive the blessing of you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Glory. All right. Good. Now, if you have a Bible, I encourage you to bring a King James Bible, the Authorized King James. And if you bring that, that'll help you. And we are going to be continuing in the Revelation. And the Revelation, I have said that it is a survival guide. The Revelation is a survival guide. And that's why it's so important in chapter 1 said you'll get a blessing if you read it, if you hear it, and if you keep it. And a lot of times you might think, well, Pastor, you're over my head. You're just going way beyond me. I'm going to keep circling back and circling back and circling back. And if you don't get it, that's all right the first time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time. It's like a baby. A baby, you can speak all kind of words. Does the baby understand every word?
No.
How many of you have raised kids, you know?
No.
Yeah. One of our kids, one word, bird, bird, bird. And, you know, you're talking to the child, but they get a word here, a word there, word. And then eventually they speak in a sentence, and then they can speak. And this is what's happening. I was really, how do I say it? I was really grateful last Wednesday. I think it was last Wednesday. I was asking questions of the men in the church, doing like a team teaching. And they were answering those questions correctly, numbers of them. Which means it's sinking in. And why is that important? That is important. As I've said it, a lot of people don't like the teaching that I'm giving on Revelation because it scares them. And it freaks them out, especially ladies. And what I tell people, you know, what did God say to Sarah? Don't be afraid with any amazement. Don't be afraid with any amazement. You say, well, how do I avoid that? Well, my Sunday morning message is all about that. And what I can say to you is the same thing that we just heard, that God doesn't ask you to face martyrdom today. And I'm not going to get grace to have martyrdom today unless God calls me to be martyred today. Then he'll give me that. He's going to give it to me when I need it. As your days, so shall your strength be. So you don't focus on all of that. You know about it. But you don't worry about it. Take no thought means don't worry about it. Cast that care on the Lord. A lot of things you worry about, most aren't going to happen. And then everybody thinks, well, everybody's going to die during the tribulation. No.
No.
And you come this Wednesday, I'm going to be preaching on the churches at the second coming. And there are going to be Christians, Philadelphia especially, is typified of that kind of church. They'll be preserved through the entire final 7 years, and they'll be preserved through this fiery trial of the great tribulation. Who in the Bible, I'll start off with this, who in the Bible typifies in the Old Testament people that will go through the fires of the Great Tribulation but be preserved alive. Who does that? And there will be, because it says those of us that are alive and remain, we're gonna be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But who is it that typifies that? Sarge?
You know what? I'm going to take a shot here. I'm going to guess Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
You know, you just reminded me of something. When you said, I'm going to take a shot here, my oldest daughter, she was in our church, and there was a guy in the church, and he was a deer hunter, you know, and he became a pharmacist, and he wanted to date my oldest daughter. He asked me, would you mind? And I said, look, I don't mind, but good luck. And he goes, well, you know, Pastor, I tried. She refused me. He said, but it was like hunting. I wanted to take a shot at a buck in the brush. That's the way he described it. So, but you're right. You hit the target. Yes, during the Great Tribulation, it'll be fiery trial. You know, First Peter talks about that fiery trial. Don't think it's strange concerning that fiery trial that'll come upon you. I believe that's 1 Peter 4. Don't think that is a strange thing when that happens. And he was talking about the persecution of Nero in the near term, but the far term, he was talking about this future great tribulation. Just like Jesus in Luke, some of you have been reading in Luke, he talks about Jerusalem in 70 AD and being, you know, the temple being raised, but he's also looking forward to the invasion of Jerusalem by the beast and the Antichrist in the future. And so, you know, there's a double fulfillment there. But yes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you remember when they went in that fire, they said, look, our God is able to deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, we're not going to bow down and worship your image. Remind me of Polycarp. And he was so angry. He had them thrown in the fire. And you remember the guys were really strong guys that threw them in. And they were burned up. They were literally burned up as they threw them in. The fire was so hot. They got in there. And you know the story. They were freed up. And there was a fourth one in there. And you know who that was. The Lord Jesus. He's with you in the fire. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He said, lo, I'm with you always. Even to the end of the world. Okay? So he's with us. He's going through this with you. Now, what happened to them? They were willing to give their lives. Did they give their lives? Well, in type, but they didn't really, because God preserved them. He took them out of the fire. And the thing, I've gone through trials in my life. I've gone through trials. And I've always prayed, I've said, And I say always, the last big one I went through, I said, Lord, when I go through this fire, and I'm going through fire, I said, I pray when I come out the other side, I wouldn't even smell smoke on my body, you know, on my life. The smoke wouldn't even be there. And that's exactly what it said. They didn't even smell like smoke when they came out of that fire. You know, we were talking about fire with Maribeth. You know, so that's what we're talking about, that there will be believers, yes, like Polycarp, they'll be martyred. God will give them grace, but there'll be those that will come through this. I'm sorry, up here. We're at Smyrna and Philadelphia. They'll come through it, and they won't even smell the smoke. They'll be here at the rapture, alive in their body, having been preserved, even though they're preaching the gospel. And remember, it says in Matthew, Jesus said that Mark, I believe this. He said, when you're in Israel, there's witnesses in Israel during the time of the Great Tribulation. That's going to be where it's really the hottest and the hardest. He said, when you give the gospel in one city, then go to the next. And when you give it, then go to the next. Keep moving. And remember, Jesus said this gospel of the kingdom would preach to all the world for a witness. You know, and that people always quote that right now. That's not right now. That, although it should go in the whole world, don't get me wrong, but he's talking about this time right here, that there are people that are going to go and keep looking for new people that need to get saved, and there'll be a great missionary outreach right during this time, and it's going to be preached for a while. And he says, those in Israel that do it, go from city to city, he said, you will not complete all of the cities of Israel until what? Son of Man comes. So that's the second coming. See, that's the rapture. See, the rapture is right at the end of the Great Tribulation and before the day of the Lord's wrath. Now, I always like to ask questions. When do most people in America today, in many churches, say that the rapture is going to happen? They don't have it over there. When do they have it, Cynthia?
They have it everything.
Yeah, before the whole 7 years. 7 years is divided in three and a half, divided into three parts, and they have it right here, which that is the confirmed Mosaic covenant and covenant with death. I believe it's a twofold covenant here. And people ask me, you know, they say, isn't the beginning of sorrows? Like, aren't we seeing it right now? Like the earthquakes in Turkey, where this is where this whole thing took place. That's where this whole thing has taken place. The seven churches, the earthquake in Turkey. You heard about it? You know what reports are saying caused it? You know how they can shoot sound waves into the earth and cause earthquakes now? Man-made earthquakes. Man-made, with political reasons. Yeah, Bernie?
There was a child born under the earthquake. I give the God.
Wow.
And she was born while the earthquake.
During the earthquake. Wow, there you go. That's amazing.
She survived it.
She survived it.
A lot of people were trying to, like, fake being her relatives and trying to take her, and steal her.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. We need to pray for these folks. And these are where these churches are that typify the kinds of churches throughout church history. And all of these kinds of churches will enter into this final 7 years. Now, it's interesting to me. It says here when it begins, and then it says beginning of sorrows, great tribulation, and day of the Lord's wrath. That covers the whole 7 years. Rapture just before the day of the Lord's wrath. Now, beginning of sorrows. Anybody know what the word sorrows means? Say that again.
Depressed.
Say?
Depressed.
Oh, depressed. Yeah. Yes, that's true. But in the context of this, there's a special reference to sorrows. Does anybody know with reference to prophecy? Yes. Yes, birth pangs. So any woman that's had labor knows that those birth pangs come, and then they let up, and then they come, and they get more regular, and the interval between them is less and less as you get toward the actual birth of the baby, and then you go into something called transition. You know, transition, that's when you're ready to go. That baby's ready to be born. So beginning of sorrows is the beginning of birth pangs during the first 3.5 years. These are man-made sorrows or birth pangs. They're earthquakes in diverse places. Remember Jesus said that? That is man-made earthquakes. You say, by whom? The globalist elites. Then they talk about pestilence. What's pestilence? Pandemics. You ever heard of pandemics? You're going to hear more of them. Unfortunately, I'm sorry. Why? They're man-made. You can blame man-made people like the wicked Bill Gates, Fauci, and what's that?
Pharmacy.
All of these things. All right, now you're going to deal with food shortages, famines. Man-made again. Bill Gates is buying up farmland, one of the greatest buyers of farmland, and GMO food and all this, what they're tampering with the food. What's that?
China's buying up farmland.
Yeah, they are. You're right. They're buying up farmland. That's right. And the globalists, the elite globalists, they love China because China is their model. And these guys will tell you that. Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, he'll say, China is the model. We love China. China is the big play. Why? Because they control the people. So I'm just trying to say, all of these beginning of birth pangs are man-made by people that are trying to do what? What are these people trying to do, these globalists? I know they're trying to reduce the population. If you're going to say that, yes, they want to reduce. I forgot what it is. I think it's about 5 million people. What's that? 500 million. Thank you. I got it a little bit too low. We're at about 9 billion now. They want to bring it down to 500 million people. Yeah. Yes.
Population
yes. So what are all these about, these famines? And then there are wars and rumors of wars, and nation will be against, that's ethnic against ethnic. So they're into race dividing. And by the way, public schools, do not send your kids to public school. It's not a public school anymore like it was. It's a globalist brainwashing place to get them into transgenderism, to get them into all the politically correct jargon of the globalist. And so avoid that. Thank God if you've got a respite from that in homeschool or in Christian school. But anyway, beginning of sorrows, and all of this is going to culminate. And we know the Great Tribulation, but what is it from the standpoint of what are they doing? Jose?
I think they're trying to form a one-world government.
That's exactly right. They're trying to form a one-world government. And they're going to have total control of your money. Let me give you an example. I was out with my son, and we were at a restaurant yesterday with my mother, and we were getting ready to, he was going to pay the bill. My son's a dentist. He's doing very well. So he was going to pay the bill for all of us. And I was telling him a joke about my other son-in-law who came all the way out from Chicago area to ask the hand of my youngest daughter in marriage, you know, to get married to her. He came out to see me. He took me out, you know, gave me a nice meal at a restaurant, and he pulls out his credit card to pay for it. And it was rejected right in front of me. He's asking my daughter's hand. So he pulled out another one, and it was rejected. He was mortified. And I pulled out my card. I said, here, I'll take care of that. And I said, you could have my daughter's hand. And then I said, pay your bills. And then, I'm a chauvinist, see. So then he goes, he left, and he was on his way home, and it was like in the winter time. And a guy slid into him, and he had an accident. So he really paid for my daughter. He went through a lot. But yeah, they want total control. So my son, he said he was going to pull out the dentist. He was going to pull out his card, you know, to pay the meal. He said, "Yeah, my money's in here," and they rejected it. I said, "I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it." So then he scheduled another meal. He said, "No, I'm going to take you guys out next week." But he found out, he called the bank. Do you know why they rejected it?
No.
The bank, he tried to get some supplements that gets rid of spike protein. Because this bioweapon that they launched itself gives off spike protein, not just the jab. If you've taken the jab, don't take any more. It's a bioweapon itself. And it's spike protein and other things that are trying to destroy your body. So he went to pay it. They rejected it, and he found out it's when he tried to order from that doctor, from those doctors. They don't want you to have ivermectin. They don't want you to have hydroxychloroquine. They don't want you to have anything that will defeat their bioweapons, their pandemic weapons that they're trying to kill us with. So that's what happened. And now he still hasn't been able to get the product. He's trying to order the product. He showed me the product. It's anti-spike protein. So anyway, this is all a thing to control. Now, have you ever heard of Braxton Hicks contractions, you know, for a woman? Braxton Hicks. We're in Braxton Hicks contraction. We're not in actual birth pangs, but it's very much like the beginning of sorrows, what we're going through already, especially with the Corona SARS clone of a virus. It's not a virus, it's a clone of a virus. It's called COVID, it really stands for Certification of Vaccination ID. They want everybody marked, and they want to mark you with luciferase, which when you get vaccinated, they got luciferase they shoot in you, and they want to mark that off. And so it stands for COVID is not the actual sickness. COVID stands for Certification of Vaccination ID, and then it's 19-19. 19 stands for different letters in the alphabet. I know you know this, A, B, C, D. So it's A is 1, and 9 is I. So it's AI, artificial intelligence. That's what they're into. They're into transhumanism, and they want to, as part of their control, actually have a transhumanist agenda. Now, beginning of sorrows, those are the beginning of birth pangs. But if it's the beginning of birth pangs, aren't there more birth pangs? Mm-hmm. Heavier labor? Okay. So what's heavier labor? The Great Tribulation. And then what's the heaviest labor? The day of the Lord's wrath. This is God's wrath when he does the trumpet judgments and the vile judgment or bowl judgment, shallow dishes of the great day of the Lord's wrath. So, and we're out of here before that. We're not appointed to God's wrath, just Satan's wrath. We'll have to deal with that. So here's my question. All of that to ask you a question. All these beginning of sorrows and these birth pangs, what is the baby? The baby isn't the rapture. What is the baby? What's being birthed? Sarge. Well, you're getting close, but I want to hit it. Diane? No? Well, yes, but you'll see when I say it. Matthew? Oh, give that guy a star. And that's the theme of the whole Bible. And I've said it over and over again to this class. You can't understand Revelation unless you understand Genesis. Genesis is the mediatorial kingdom. God is the owner of the whole earth. God is the owner. Who did he appoint to be the king and the queen of this earth? Joe?
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve. But somebody came, and we know who it was, Lucifer, who became the devil, and he tempted Eve and got her to tempt Adam. Smart, smart, smart way to go. Because the Bible's very clear that Adam was not deceived by Eve or the devil's lie. He was not deceived, but he, for Eve's sake, we must infer that for Eve's sake, he didn't want to lose her. So he gave it all up for a woman. It's always a woman. You guys have great power over men. So that led to the fall. That led to the fall. And therefore, the mediatorial kingdom was not in the hands of a man like it's supposed to be. Adam, reigning for God, it turned over to an angelic being, a cherubim, Satan. And he has, for 6,000 years, duked it out with God for the mediatorial kingdom. And he's tried to stop God's program. The whole Bible is about this cosmic warfare. And later on, the book of Revelation, when we get to chapter 12, you're going to see this thing come right out in the open. And what's going to happen, there's going to be a great war in heaven between Satan's angels and God's angels. And does anybody know who commands Satan's angels? He's the restrainer, by the way. It's not the Holy Spirit, the restrainer. Yes, Sarge?
Satan's angels?
Satan's angel. No, God's angels.
Oh, God's angel, the Archangel Michael.
Correct, the Archangel Michael. And this fight is going to go on. And keep in mind, Satan only has, what, one-third of the angels? Michael has two-thirds, and it's almost an even battle. That gives you an idea how powerful Satan is. I've had fights with Satan, and he's no small. And he's got, you know, many devils. Yeah.
You know, the first 3.5 years, that's like man-made troubles.
Yes.
But also, the two witnesses will be witnessing, and they're going to cause a lot of trouble on the earth, the two witnesses, right?
Well, we'll get to that, Andy.
But I'm just asking for a second.
We'll get to that. I think you and I talked about it. You're going to see them start right here, right when the world government comes in. And they're going to go, this is very important, they're going to go all the way through the Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord, and the beast of the Antichrist are going to try to kill them, and they can't do it. That's why when they actually do, they're allowed to kill them after the end of the 7 years on the third day, at the end of the 7 years, they're going to kill them. And the whole world is going to watch them lay in Jerusalem.
Yeah, that comes up from the bottomless pit, that spirit, and he kills him, I guess. Isn't it?
Oh, it's going to be the beast. He's going to kill him. It'll say it. He'll kill him. But the thing that got me is when I was a kid, you know, you should know this too, because, you know, we're decades in around. But when we were kids, they didn't have the ability to watch people over the pond. We couldn't watch people in Europe. We couldn't watch live in the Middle East because there was not the satellites up there. The first satellite that went up there was Telstar. And Telstar began to allow you to do that. That was in the 1960s. And I remember a song came out. Da, 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 da. You ever hear that one? Telstar. And that, you know, said that. And that changed everything. So how can everybody in the world watch these guys and watch them rise from the dead? And everybody in the world, they're going to give gifts to one another like it's Christmas time when they're dead, because they caused so much trouble to the world, these two witnesses. And so all that's going to happen. But yes, the bottom line is this whole period of 7 years is going to be the birth pangs of the coming mediatorial kingdom. And it's going to be returned to a man. Who's the man that's going to rule and take it away from Satan? Jesus. Of the seed of Abraham, of the seed of David, he was truly man as well as God. So he's the God-man. And that's how God... So Revelation is the completion of this whole theme to bring God's kingdom to earth. Now, how does this fit in with the church at Laodicea? This is the final church. And by the way, the church at Laodicea is going to enter, the type of church at Laodicea is going to enter into the 70th week and go through the Great Tribulation and then face the Lord for the rapture when he comes back, because the rapture is public. Everybody will see the Lord when he comes back. The whole world will see him. You know, it's not this secret rapture. Like, you know what's taught today, like Left Behind, Jerry Jenkins, Tim LaHaye. There's another movie coming out, Kevin Sorbo. I like Kevin Sorbo. He's going to star in that. It was that other guy. Who was the one that was in that Left Behind series? No. No, there's another guy I'm thinking of that played what Kevin Sorbo is going to play. But anyway, not important. But anyway, they're coming out with another one. And that is, if the rapture happens today, which that's what the common teaching is going to happen right here. I'm going to prove that's wrong. But then my clothes or your clothes, if you're a saved person, would be just left behind and laying there, and you would disappear. And people would come up with theories. Why did they disappear? I don't know. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And then you go into the 7 years of tribulation. No, the whole 7 years is not the tribulation. The whole 7 years is not the day of the Lord's wrath. It's beginning of sorrows, great tribulation, which is cut short. The word in the Greek is amputated. Jesus said in Matthew 24, he'll cut it short with what? What will cut it short? What will handcuff the beast in his ability to kill and cause tribulation? He's going to cut it short. Diane? Cosmic darkening. That is the signal that the day of the Lord is about to come. And that's after the sixth seal of Revelation 6. And that will cut it short. And then in the sky, in the darkened sky, from east to west, like lightning, the glory of the Lord will come across the sky. And that will be the sign. That's the sign of his coming. And his coming will be, first of all, to rapture his bride. And then he'll continue, parousia, continue his presence in the sky. And so the world during the day of the Lord will show their rebellion, because they'll hide it first, then come out like Pharaoh and keep fighting God. And they'll fight God, but then he'll keep pouring out heavier and heavier judgments upon this world until Jesus literally touches down and takes over the world. We're going to study all this in Revelation. I encourage you to keep coming because it will help you. But I want to just tie in the Laodicea church, which is, out of all the churches, the one that's the most wishy-washy. And you say, in history, when did Laodicea start? In the early 1900s, in the early 20th century. That's when that era started. Before that, you had Philadelphia from about 1750 to the early 1900s. That was the great church, commended by a bold missionary church, great church. But now, he said, the most predominant churches are going to be Laodicea. It doesn't mean all churches. I hope we're a Philadelphia church. I want to be a Philadelphia church. But there's going to be the most numerous are these wishy-washy churches. They'll have these, you can't tell the difference between them and a rock band having a concert. When Stryper came here years ago, the women would throw their, you know what's, unmentionables on the stage, which is similar to what they do in rock bands. Frank Zappa, great early rocker, said rock and roll is sex. The big beat responds to the body. And it's never changed. A Cleveland DJ, Alan Freed, coined the term rock and roll, which stood for fornication in the backseat of a car with teenagers. And so rock and roll was something that came. Now, Satan is a musician. He has pipes inside of him, Ezekiel says. And and some of this music is powerful music. But anyway, I remember preaching one time, and a guy saw me, and I was going to preach. This is back in the 1970s, and he said to me, "You're preaching," he said, "but we got the harps, man. We got the harps." In other words, you're up against powerful music that's going to take over. And it's taken over many, many churches. Heavy rock concert, lights, fog, you know, smoke and fog and lights. And that draws people. I've got friends and loved ones. Don't get me wrong. They're in these kind of situations. And I love them. Some of them are good Christians. They're not necessarily all bad people. But I'm just saying, I have to go by what I see in the Bible. I'm captive to the Bible. And I have to spit it out. And so this is what we're seeing more and more of as we come to the end of the age. Now, keep in mind, Laodicea is here. See, it's south of Philadelphia and east, and is south and west of Ephesus. Ephesus was the first church started by the Apostle Paul. Then it was pastored, head pastor was Timothy. And as churches should do, it started all these churches. It started all these churches. All came from Ephesus. And that's the way it should be. Our church should be so filled we can't fit everybody, and then we should start new churches. And so that's what was going on there. And Laodicea had a place called Hierapolis. Have anybody heard of Hierapolis in the Bible? They had a church there too. And Hierapolis was, I believe, it's 6 miles to the north of Laodicea. And what were they known for? Hot springs. Real hot springs. How many have ever gone to a spa and gotten a hot tub? Feels good, doesn't it? And the water moves, and that's what it was. It was like bubbling hot water, and people would come to Hierapolis, and that water would run down. Then there was another place called Colossae, and that was in what's called the Lycus Valley, and that was near Laodicea, Colossae, Hierapolis, and that water was freezing cold. They would have like cold water. Now, I know some people, I bet you've done this, Jose, I'm going to guess, I don't know, but you go to a gym, you get in that hot tub, you get hot, 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 and then you jump in cold water. Have you ever done that? Yeah. It feels good. Listen, some people think the hot represents a good Christian when Jesus said, you're not hot or cold, and the cold represents a bad Christian. No. If I want a cold drink, I want that cold drink. If I'm getting iced tea, I don't want to have lukewarm tea. If I'm going in a hot tub, I want it hot, but I'm going in a cold tub, I want it cold. And they had both of those. But Laodicea, the hot water from Hierapolis would flow 6 miles to the south, and by the time it got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. And if people came like they would to Colossae to get a cold drink, they're a weary traveler, they want a cold drink, and they drink that lukewarm, they might just... And that's what he's saying. He's saying, I would that you were hot or cold. If you're supposed to be a freezer, be a freezer. You know, you don't want your freezer not being able to freeze your meat. If you're a freezer, you're a freezer. You don't want a lukewarm freezer. But if you're an oven, you need to be an oven. You need to be hot enough to bake something. So what is he saying? Be what you are. If you are a Christian, be a Christian. Be fundamental. Have a Bible. If you believe in biblical authority, have a Bible and stand on that Bible. All right, if you're going to stand for a modern translation, say, thus saith the Lord. This is a modern translation. Every word is the word of God. They don't say that, do they? No, because they're wishy-washy. They're Laodicean. And that's what the Lord says. He said, I am on the outside of that church trying to get in, because he's knocking on the door of their hearts. He's on the outside. There's nobody in that church that's saved. There's nobody that's saved. Now, he's saying, I want you to repent. I want you to turn to me. He's still inviting them. He's still reaching out to them. And he's knocking at the door of their heart. And he is saying that to this Laodicean church. And he said, because you're going to be Laodicean at the rapture, they're going to be here through the... Now, why are they going to be alive through the tribulation? What will help Laodicean Christians, like some other churches we've talked about, go through that? Diane?
Take the mark of the beast.
they're going to take the mark of the beast. Now, it could be like an RFID tattoo on your hand or your forehead. Could be even visible, or could be invisible. I don't know which. But I know it will be a mark, and it will be able to be read by a scanner. You'll be able to debit and credit money out of it. It doesn't say it in the Bible, but I believe they're trying to keep cures from us. How many have heard of Jimmy Carter? All right, he was a president of the United States years ago in the 1970s. Jimmy Carter had cancer all through his body about 10 years ago or so. I don't know the exact time. And he was terminal. It was over for Jimmy Carter. He has a lot of friends that are globalists. He's a hero of the globalists because he didn't let us use our own energy. Remember the gas lines for an hour? He said there's energy shortage. He's lying. It was not an energy shortage. This man is one of the great... He's not quite as bad as Joe Biden, but, you know, he was bad. And anyway, he was sick with his cancer. It was all through his body. They gave him the cure, which is certain kind of immunotherapy. Have you heard of immunotherapy? Some people get it. I just mentioned my brother-in-law. He gave him, what do most people get? Chemotherapy. That kills the cancer cells, but what does it also kill? It kills your immune system, your body. Now, I'm not saying all chemo, that's an individual decision on chemo. But I am saying immuno, if it's done right, it's very successful. It cured Carter, and he's now dying because he's almost 100 years old. So eventually he's going to die. But anyway, I'm just saying to you, I believe in the mark here, right here, mark that they'll give. It will not only allow you to have money, a lot of money, good medical care. How many people will take that in churches? Because you have to understand, and I'm going to say this again, they're not outlawing you worshiping your God, just like the Roman Emperor did not outlaw. The Roman Emperor didn't outlaw you worshiping all these different gods. And you can worship Jesus. He said it. He never stopped them from church. What did he say? You got to worship Caesar. He's the Supreme Lord. So as long as you take this mark, and to take the mark, you have to acknowledge the individual called the beast who's going to live and die and come back. That's a whole other lesson. We're going to get into that. Who's that person? He's going to live, die, come back. You got to worship him, acknowledge him, he's God. Satan will back him, of course, by his power. And if you do that, you can go to your church and worship Jesus.